everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe. And for this episode, I'm going to be talking about some more Kamen Rider Ichigo. We're going to go ahead and get right into it, because I don't really have any new news. I know there is... If you go look on, I know Reddit, some of the Reddit news, some of the Kamen Rider forums, you will find some upcoming photos, some upcoming things about some Zetsu stuff. In particular, the new Rider that is going to be appearing. I say new Rider, I mean it's a character that is already here. Well, it's already on the show, and he'll be getting a driver. Very interesting, very cool looking. So, kind of reminds me of Kamen Rider Gav's final form. When he had his sort of his final form. The helmet itself looks similar to that, but anyway, yeah. So go, if you are interested in that, go check that out. If not, if you want to kind of stay in the dark on that, give it, honestly, probably a couple episodes, because I am almost positive that is going to be coming here real soon. I say that because I know over on the merchandising side, the driver and the weapons to purchase the toys have gone up over on the Talk Collectibles site, which I have, they were up for pre-order. They're still up for pre-order. But originally it was just pre-order without a picture. Now there is a picture. So, and I think they're going to be coming out in November. They're going to be releasing in November. So, my only assumption is that sometime this coming month is when that will, the character and those weapons and that driver will show up on the show. So sometime in the next, let's see, there are how many Saturdays in November? 5. So sometime in the next 4 episodes, because we didn't get an episode this past weekend. I'm going to say probably in the next 2 episodes, if we're being generous. Probably not going to be the next one, although if it is, it's going to be at the very end of the next one. But guaranteed probably by the, so see, this is episode 8, so 9, so probably by episode 10, we're going to have another, the next rider, if you will. So with that being said, without any other stuff for Zets to go on, any news on that end, let's go ahead and get into some Kamen Rider Ichigo. So I'm going to be covering episodes 15 and 16. So let's hop into it. Episode 15, Sabatagran Strikes Back. So part of me wanted to just repeat everything that I said in the last episode, starting from the moment Hayato reveals himself to be Kamen Rider to Tachibana and Taki, to the moment Sabatagran throws him over his shoulder at the cactus bombs. Because that's what the show does. But I didn't feel like being that much of an asshole today. So instead, I'll start with how Kamen Rider saved himself from being blown up. Somehow, he gained the ability to jump off of air. Don't know how. But he did that and then flipped around and then ended up kicking Sabatagran into a cactus and having it explode. The jolly prickly plant man escaped, however, and Rider was able to hear him fleeing underground. Because, as you remember, Takeshi had the same thing, because he's now a cyborg. His ears are able to pick up sound better than a normal human hearing. Rider asks if Tachibana and Taki will help him take down Shocker, to which they both agree to. Sabatagran pops up out of the ground someplace else and vows to take out our three heroes. Hayato is having a nightmare of when he was turned into a cyborg. We do learn that the Shocker scientist chose him to go up against the first Kamen Rider because he has superior athleticism, a 6th degree black belt in judo, and a 5th degree in karate. He wakes up from the dream and chastises himself about it, but then hears a knock at his door. He opens it to find Mari, whom he trips as he walks in, or as she walks in, holding a present. Why she just walks in without being properly invited is anyone's guess, but she seems to be a very forward woman, so I'm not surprised in the least bit. Hayato asks why she is doing, or what she is doing at his place, and how she found it. Mari replied that she has a knack for that kind of stuff. Like when her cat is missing, she knows instinctively that it's under her bed. She may be forward, but she is also a bit of a ditz. She then asks Hayato to take photos of her. When he showed up at the racing club last time and Mari found out he was a photographer, she asked him to take her photos and he refused, saying he doesn't take photos of women. Really thought that was weird, but I'm sure he's got a reason. He refuses again and points her toward the door, telling her to take her present with her. She states that the present was sitting at his doorstep when she got here. She was just being nice and was bringing it in. She encourages him to open it, which he reluctantly does, but he tells her to not blame him if it blows up in her face. She thinks he is just being funny, but when he takes the box top off, inside is a Mexican flower, one of the tiny cactus bombs. Mari goes to admire it, but Hayato stops her. He picks up the bottom portion of the box and tosses it along with the bomb outside, because when Hayato decided on an open concept apartment, he meant 3 walls instead of 4. After the explosion, Mari remembered that she saw a similar package somewhere else, but she is having a hard time remembering. Hayato promises to take pictures of her if she can remember where, which she then does. It was over at the racing club. Shiro, Hiromi, Yuri, and Michi are trying to open the present up. Once they get it open, they are surprised to find the cactus inside. Shiro commenting that he didn't know Tachibana had good taste. Hiromi asks him to go wake up Tachibana so Yuri can time her lap. She is very impatient and grabs the cactus and tosses it away. Right at that moment, Hayato shows up and catches it before it can hit the ground, saving everyone from an excruciating death. Tachibana comes walking out, having just woken up after all the noise, sees the cactus in Hayato's hands, and starts to freak out. Outside, a man on a motorcycle speeds away, having not seen or heard an explosion. Seeing him go, Michi and Mari go after him on a motorcycle of their own. They are about to catch him when a Mexican flower pops up and gives off a tiny explosion when the girls hit it with their motorcycle, causing them to fall off. Just then, combat men shoot up out of the ground and surround them, and Mari's fencing skills come in handy as she grabs what looks to be a piece of bamboo off of the ground to use as a sword. Michi isn't helpless either here, though, and she attempts to fight one of the combat men, but is unable to really do any significant damage. But the two are trying their best, and I guess that's all Hayato needed to see, because he is watching from a distance as these girls defend themselves. And then when it looks like they are about to be done in, he transforms and finally comes to their rescue. Kamen Rider jumps in and gives the ladies enough time to escape, taking out all the combat men surrounding them as they run. He then jumps and gets onto the back of the bike of the guy that they chased out here in the first place, knocking him out so he can get information from him later. At the racing club, Shiro tries and fails to get the combat man to talk. Tachibana informs him that these guys are bred for action, and that they are probably designed to be mute. Tachibana leaves to check in with Hayato, leaving Shiro alone to guard the prisoner. He freaks himself out when he starts to hear footsteps, but it turns out to be the girls. They offer to help watch the prisoner, which Shiro is grateful for, but it doesn't do any good. Sabatagran shows up, and Shiro, Mari, and Michi faint at the sight of him. Yuri stands her ground, but falters when he starts to approach, fainting at the last moment. Sabatagran releases the combat man, saying that they need all hands on deck for the next phase of the plan. Otherwise, he would have killed him right here and there and now for failing his mission. At the Shocker base, a car pulls up and the guards on the road ask for identification. Underneath the car, Taki rolls out and off to the side of the road. Taki has to be the dumbest FBI agent I have ever seen. If you had just held on a little longer, you would have been in the parking garage, but no. You need to show off to literally no one by sneaking into the base using your climbing skills for some reason. And then he almost gets caught on the bridge because he made noise. He had to fight 3 combat men, and yeah, I know he can handle that. He has in the past, but that is not the point. You hear FBI agent, and you are supposed to think a level of sophistication and intelligence, especially in the 70s when this was made. That is not what I am seeing being portrayed by this man. Anyway, he takes the outfit off of one of the combat men and then walks right into the base, going right into the meeting Sabatagran is having with the Shocker scientists and some combat men, higher ups, I guess. The meeting lays out the next phase of his plan, the destruction of the Sakuma Dam, because that is the one thing he is good at, destroying dams. Taki asks what weapons they will be using to destroy the dam, and Sabatagran tells him the Mexican flower, but then realizes that the uniform that he is wearing is that of a guard's uniform and shouldn't be in this meeting. He gets captured and revealed, and as Sabatagran goes to attack Taki, the great leader stops him, saying that they can use him as bait to lure out Kamen Rider. Sabatagran orders Taki to be taken to the dungeon in the meantime. Once the combat men take Taki down to the dungeon, one of them takes out the guard at the cell and the other one that's holding Taki. As it turns out, this is actually Kamen Rider in disguise. He had the same idea as Taki, and I am more impressed with Kamen Rider though. While Taki had put the combat man outfit over his clothes, because they were there when the outfit got ripped off of him, Ryder had his whole costume on, helmet and all. And remember, the combat men are now in luchador masks, so he had put a whole other outfit over thick padding and a mask over his helmet, and no one could tell. So just picture it. Luchador mask over a Kamen Rider helmet. I think it's just kind of funny. Now, that's not what they saw. Like, what you saw was a normal combat man looking man. But it's funny to picture that. Ryder tells Taki that the storeroom for the Mexican flower just so happens to be behind the wall opposite the cells. That's pretty convenient. He breaks through the wall, and the two of them grab a bunch of bombs, start walking down the hallway, and then chuck a bomb into each room they pass. They get to the main room, only to get surrounded by combat men. Taki tells Kamen Rider to go after Sabatagran, and he can take care of these guys. So he obliges. Rider finds him in a nursery area, now with a handful of Mexican flowers strapped to him. Kamen Rider has ruined his reputation that he had built up in Mexico. So now, knowing that he is going to die, he is going to take Ryder with him. They start fighting, but Ryder is keeping his distance so he doesn't get blown up or blown to bits. Sabatagran goes to charge at Kamen Rider, who leaps straight up and out of the way, causing Sabatagran to run right into a wall, killing himself and taking the base with him. Taki comes running out of a cave entrance to see that Kamen Rider has survived and is riding away on Cyclone. So, with the end of that episode, our kill count currently sits at Kamen Rider 2 for this episode with 6 kills, Taki with 3 kills, and Sabatagran with 2 kills, one by suicide, and then he blew up the base, which I'm assuming he probably killed at least one person. And by killing the base, if you kill at least, even if you only kill one person, that's, it's one kill. So, but that also brings the total of Kamen Rider 2's kills to 11 at the moment. So, just want to point that out there. So that's where we're currently at. So our next episode, episode 16, The Devil Wrestler Pariasis. Pariasis? This one's going to be hard to say. Because it's a piranha and a dinosaur together. So it's Pariasaurus. Pariasaurus. There we go. Pariasaurus. Got it. Finally got it. All right. So imagine that you are taking a lovely bus ride down the street when suddenly a passenger gets upset that the driver missed their stop. Then another one yells at the driver for not listening to them. Then you see a woman sitting next to you put on the gas mask. It's at that point that you realized you should have probably stayed home today. The driver declares that the bus is a mobile shocker testing lab, and everyone on it are guinea pigs, which includes you. He does finally stop the bus, but he's standing in front of the entrance, and the emergency exit and all of the windows are sealed shut. You think to yourself, that seems like a safety code violation. The driver turns into a giant fish-like creature that starts to spit out a toxic mist from its fin on top of its head. As you lay there dying with the mist eating all of the organic material off of your bone or off of your body, leaving only your bones, you wonder if you left the stove on at home after making breakfast this morning. Maya, the lady in the gas mask, gets up, excited that the experiment was a success. However, the toxic mist was so potent that it even killed this modified cyborg. He wasn't strong enough to withstand the effects. Back at the shocker base, we get an explanation of what the cyborg is and what he was made from. The Pariasaurus is a creature theorized to have existed in South America long ago, capable of emitting venom from its body. Its poison mist was a thing of terror, capable of killing even giant dinosaurs in seconds. Shocker managed to find a Pariasaurus and fused it with a human to create a cyborg, but their human specimen lived only a few days after being imbued with the Pariasaurus's venom. In order to create a more perfect cyborg, Shocker's most brilliant scientists began a new analysis of the Pariasaurus from various angles to acquire new data. They then put the data into their computer. Soon, the computer used the data it was given to give them the name of a human. This human would be capable of enduring the Pariasaurus's venom. Sorry. This computer's cold diagnosis did not take into account whether the person in question would want this or not. That is all direct text. Figured it was best just to repeat instead of paraphrasing. So anyway, the computer was able to find one person that could withstand the effects of Pariasaurus's mist, and thankfully he just happened to be in Japan. Noboru Kusaka is who they are going after, and he is a professional wrestler, currently the reigning champion. The great leader sends Maya and another agent by the name of Hurricane Joe out to the local arena to acquire Kusaka. Kusaka is currently in a title match, defending his belt in a best 2 out of 3 matches. His younger brother, Kiyoshi, is at the racing club watching the match on TV with Yuri's younger brother, Goro. He was one of the other kids that joined the racing club when the girls did. As the boys are excitingly watching the match, Mari, Yuri, and Michi walk in, wondering what all the noise is about. Goro explains about Kiyoshi's brother being a pro wrestler, and then the girls get excited watching the match with the kids. There's a moment when Goro grabs Kiyoshi in a headlock, and he is throwing his other arm around, and it definitely looks like he clocks Kiyoshi in the face a couple of times. Tachibana comes in and asks what everyone is yelling about, as we see Kusaka pin his opponent in the first match. The second match starts, and the wrestlers come out of their corners attacking. The camera pans over to find Hayato taking pictures of the match, and then it lingers on him so he can wave and wink at the camera. The ladies see this and all declare that they are going to the arena to see him and rush out, slamming into Taki as he is coming in. Taki looks at the TV, and the cameraman apparently loves Hayato because now he is making faces at it, and it is just staying on him instead of going back to the wrestling match. We eventually get back to the match, and we see Kasuka taking a beating. On the sideline, Hayato is cheering on, but the back of his camera wasn't secure, and his film comes flying out, exposing and ruining all of it. As for Kasuka, he pulls out a victory over his opponent and won his second match, keeping his title. Satisfied with what he saw, Hurricane Joe heads out of the arena to prepare to capture Kasuka. In his locker room, Kasuka meets Maya, who says she is from a magazine and would like to take his picture. He agrees to this, and is not suspicious whatsoever of the long protruding tube on the front of the camera. He is shot with a tranquilizer dart, and some agents come in to grab him. But Kasuka is stronger than they thought, or than they anticipated, and was able to fight these guys off for a little while before the tranquilizer kicked in. Meyer grabs his clothes out of his locker, and a picture of him and Kiyoshi falls out. She picks it up off the ground. Got to make sure there's no evidence. As she's leaving, she runs into Hayato, who is fascinated by her camera. She is in such a hurry that she doesn't notice that he was able to palm the camera away from her. Looking at the camera more closely, he was able to confirm that it was not a normal camera. As Maya hops into her car and leaves, Kamen Rider starts to follow close behind. She radios Hurricane Joe for help, and he is able to cut Kamen Rider off from pursuing Maya. Rider points out that Hurricane Joe doesn't look like a cyborg, and that is because he isn't. He is just a normal guy, but he trains the cyborgs and guards their commanders. Now, the concept of a powerful guy that is able to train the cyborgs is awesome, and I'm all here for it. But you're introducing it in episode 16 to a guy that was a cyborg for a minute that got freed and he doesn't know who you are. Especially since we have seen a few times after a cyborg is created, they just go out and climb a wall or fight Little Mac or do something to fill time. And I know that was because Hiroshi Fujika, Takeshi Hongo, the actor, and then what he played, was out of commission and they needed to figure out something to fill the episode with. But I do wish that they had introduced the concept of Hurricane Joe or something similar to that earlier in the show. I think he would have been a good general type that Ryder could come across from time to time. But then you're getting into Super Sentai area of villains. And I don't think that's what Kamen Rider is essentially about. I mean, I'm not going to say it's supposed to be Villain of the Week or anything, which is currently what it is. But I also know that as the show progresses, the later stuff tends to get the generals, and you tend to get the repeating characters that Rider will go up against. So I don't know. Anyway, I got way off topic there. So I was talking about Hurricane Joe stopping Ryder from following Maya. So we get back to that. Joe goes to attack and ended up tossing Ryder off to the side of the road. Ryder acknowledges that Hurricane Joe is strong, but not strong enough to defeat him, and then proceeds to beat up literally everyone around that isn't Hurricane Joe. I mean, I'm not saying that Kamen Rider is scared to fight Hurricane Joe, but it definitely looks that way. An alarm goes off, and Joe says he's tired of playing with him right now and calls his men to fall back. Rider puts it together, because he is about as smart as Taki sometimes, that this was all just a distraction. For her part, Maya had taken the car to the docks and driven it off into the water to make it look like Kasuka had an accident and died. She crumples up the photo and throws it on the ground. She then rushes out of there as she hears a motorcycle approaching. Kamen Rider rides up and finds the picture on the ground. At the racing club, Kiyoshi is upset that his brother never came to pick him up. He has never broken a promise before. Taki agrees to take him over to the arena to check things out, and when they get there, they don't find anything out of the ordinary. Taki suggests that he might have gone home, but Kiyoshi is adamant that he wouldn't have left him, and then that something must have happened to him. As Taki begins to downplay the potential danger, he notices the tranquilizer dart on the ground. Shocker made sure to grab all of Kasuka's stuff, but heaven forbid they clean up after themselves. The Shocker scientists successfully purge Kasuka's memories, and it's obvious that they are purging the memories first after the mishap with Takeshi, making him a cyborg first and then trying to erase his memories. They then turn him into the new Pariahzorus, which looks exactly like the old one. I figured they would have changed something to distinguish him between the other one, but I might be asking for too much. The Great Leader tasks Maya and Hurricane Joe with training Pariahzorus, and they start right away. Although I do question their method of training. Their first test is for him to break free of the chains that are tied around him, which he is able to do easily. That's a fairly simple test. The next test, however, combat men fire a rocket at him, and he just stands there and lets it hit him. And I don't know, man, that seems to be a little much. Their last test for him will be at the motocross racetrack the next day. Why the wait, you ask? I can only assume they want to have him go up against people, or they could possibly be trying to draw out Kamen Rider. There's no real explanation here. So the next day at the racetrack, Tachibana is wanting to do a time trial, so he asks Mari, Yuri, and Michi who wants to go first. All of them quickly back away from the bike, and I don't know why Michi is scared. Out of the three of them, she's the one with the most experience, and I believe at this point, all three of them have had some practice on the bikes. Maybe it's because the track is a bunch of hills, and there are a ton of blind spots on it. Who knows? Either way, Hayato comes riding up and asks Tachibana to time him on the track. He takes off, but is quickly taken out by a boulder thrown by Pariahzorus. The walking fish / dinosaur hybrid runs up to find an empty bike, and Kamen Rider on the hill above him. So he hops down to take on the cyborg, as Tachibana and the girls wait patiently for Hayato to return, still timing his lap. As the two continue to fight, they both go for their kicks. Kamen Rider with his Rider kick, and Pariahzorus with his Ultra kick, and Pariahzorus's one out in the end, sending Rider over a hill into some water down below. Back at the racing club, Mari mentions that it has been almost 3.5 hours, and I'm not sure if they waited all that time at the track or they are still timing Hayato, but all I can think of was Zap Brannigan from Futurama and how he still hasn't finished the cadet training course. Tachibana tells them not to worry about Hayato. He'll turn her up safe eventually. Michi then suggests putting on some go-go dancing to cheer them up. Taki walks in and is wondering why everyone is in such a happy mood with a man missing. He's referring to Kasuka. I think I said it weird before, but I apologize for that. But Mari agrees with him in reference to Hayato. she goes over and changes the channel to wrestling. And it just so happens that this is the first professional match for a new wrestler, Satan Mask. Kiyoshi was in the crowd and saw the eyes behind Satan Mask and knew immediately that this man was his brother. Tachibana asked Taki what happened to the kid with the wrestling brother. And right on cue, the cameraman zooms in on Kiyoshi going ringside. After the match, Kiyoshi confronts Satan Mask, asking him why he didn't come see him and calling him his big brother. Satan Mask says he doesn't know who he is and then gets told by Maya and Hurricane Joe, who just left the venue, to finish off the kid. Complying with their orders, Satan Mask picks up Kiyoshi, spins him around a bit, and then tosses him across the way. We get some terribly awesome ragdoll thrown across the screen that I definitely laughed at. But Kiyoshi is caught by Kamen Rider, who is alive and well, and calls these three out for their antics, passing a cyborg off as a pro wrestler. Combat men start to attack, and Ryder is keeping Kiyoshi safe, until Taki comes running up, and he hands the boy off to him. Parizarus reveals himself, and goes to take on Ryder once more, and the two of them seem to be evenly matched. Every blow thrown is mirrored by the other. Who will be victorious in the end? I'll give you a hint. The show isn't called Parizarus. And that's how we end the episode, in a nice little to be continued. So, by the end of this one, we've got Taki with two kills. Kamen Rider didn't kill anybody in this episode, which brings Taki up to 5 total. Actually, I think, did he kill anybody in the last couple? Let me double check that real quick. Let's see here. None there. None there. Yeah, so he is only at 5 total. Yep, I gotta update that list there. So, yeah. That's what we got at the moment. Nothing else, like I said, that I can think of. I know, like I said, this is a two-parter, so we'll get the end on the next episode this coming Thursday. And I will see if there's another two-parter after that. I do enjoy some of these two-parters. They tend to be fun. I'm not sure how much I enjoy the splitting up of these at times, but... because I do kind of like having them finished up, but I also like the suspense, knowing that I have to wait a little bit to see the end. It does kind of, like, you know, take you back to the old days of TV. So, I don't know, memories and all that. So, thank you all for listening. You guys can find us on social media. It's Comic Book Rundown. You can email us at comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We've got Comic Book Rundown proper last Saturday of the month. We've got Rundown Reviews every Friday. We've got Getting Franchised the last Sunday of the month. Obviously this show every Monday and Thursday. And I think that's it. Yeah. So once again, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.